This is Scott Becker with the Becker Private Equity Podcast. Today we're joined by Amber Walsh. Amber's on the executive committee at McGuire Woods. She's also been working at the intersection of healthcare and private equity for nearly 20 years now, which is really remarkable. She seems like still just such a young, smart professional and just brilliant. She's going to talk to us today about what health systems should know about private equity investors. Amber, I'll ask you to introduce yourself. As you can start to tell us about what should health systems know about private equity and private equity investors? Are they friend? Are they foe? What should they know about it?
Yeah, I am very happy to share. I spent a lot of time thinking about this, as you mentioned, in kind of the multiple hats I wear, but in particular as a healthcare regulatory and transactions attorney who has done this for 20 years, there's a very large portion of my practice that is more traditional provider work. Surgery center companies, physician practices, hospitals, and then another very significant portion representing private equity investors into healthcare. And so this kind of this dynamic between the two, and it can sometimes feel combative, but I tend to have more of a Pollyanna positive outlook on some of the really cool joint ventures that I've seen occurring as well. So I have a few thoughts, and I will just start with the fact that hospitals and health systems obviously cannot ignore private equity investment. It is impacting every single local healthcare system in the country and has been for several decades. While the volume of private equity investment into healthcare is staggering, again last year grew by another 132%, according to the Bain and EY reports in healthcare investment. It's been going on for several decades, and it's something that I think hospitals and health systems, some have ignored for a while and thought it might be short-lived, but private equity investment in healthcare is here to stay and has impacted your communities. And so now you have to be prepared for what does that mean and what opportunities can it present?
Well, thank you. And take a moment. Some of the things that I see and I'd love your comments on it are things like big physician platform, specialty platform companies within orthopedics, GI, ophthalmology that are being rolled up by private equity funds, and then sometimes they buy a local group, and that means that group may or may not stay loyal to the local hospital. You also see situations where, like Village MD was born and grew into this major company of primary care driven, and then sold to Walgreens, that will lead Walgreens to be able to better staff their urgent care and their health, what they're trying to do, and that could peel off business. I mean, and then you see things like, and I know one of them that you worked on, or our team worked on, was, you know, huge orthopedic group that partnered with a local health system to develop, you know, I think with private equity too, to develop a platform orthopedic company. But what do some of these things mean for health systems? Are they threats to health systems? Can they be partners? What does some of that mean?
Sure, absolutely. And I think it's a little bit of everything. It can be a competitive threat. And I'll talk about that more specifically in a minute. It also props up your local health system. It infuses cash into your local health system, into community physicians, and gives some real opportunities to make investments and do some interesting joint ventures as well that just may not have been available to your community. So, you know, I'll get a little bit more specific. I think your tee up there was perfect. All of those phenomenon go on. Just taking it back to even some of the really, really basics, just the most basic of an impact on a local system is that there's always a really important relationship between a local system and the private community physicians, those who are on the medical staff and are driving a lot of volume in specialty services, orthopedics, neuro, spine, et cetera, GI. But then you have others that are in typically large coverage arrangements or PSAs, so anesthesia, trauma coverage, radiology, et cetera. For years, you've had private equity in all of these pieces of your private physician community. For example, Team Health, owned by Blackstone, and Envision, owned by KKR. Many, many health systems around the country have coverage by those anesthesiologists, radiologists, et cetera. And many times, those relationships will simply continue when a Team Health makes an acquisition or an Envision makes an acquisition. Many times, it won't impact the local relationship with the hospital, because that hospital is a really important relationship for the practice that has then joined the larger system. So I think a lot of times there's a bit of an unnecessary panic for some of these really basic acquisitions, and it allows some recruiting into the area for some much needed community physicians that can really support that hospital's coverage needs when the hospital itself doesn't have the capital to do the recruiting. So that's kind of a really basic concept that doesn't talk about ancillaries and joint ventures and all the other things. But I think it's worth being aware of.
No, and absolutely. And sometimes it could be a positive if those physicians stay connected to the health system and the new ones that come in stay connected to the health system. It could be a negative if that company is big on building their own ancillaries that takes money out of the health system. It just really depends on what the perspective of is that private equity partner and platform going to be friendly with the health system or not.
Exactly. And private equity is paying just as much attention to the health system as health systems are paying attention to private equity, because private equity certainly recognizes that no matter what, they can't be everything to a local healthcare system. And that, yes, there is private equity in the hospital systems as well. We can't forget that. Not all health systems are not-for-profit and local only. We know that. But for those that are, private equity investors that are looking at opportunities in a particular market are keenly aware that the local health system still does and will for a long time, in my opinion, still rotate around, evolve around the health system. And that health system relationship is really important because, one, it is often a revenue driver for affiliated physician practices through PSA arrangements or whatnot. It's also a real opportunity to do some very interesting joint ventures or to get into value-based care. And the more savvy private equity has gotten, you and I have talked about in other podcasts, private equity is so much more savvy about value-based care, about deploying digital resources, about really moving the needle on AAA. And the more they do that, the more they are kind of refocused in what I've seen on how the local hospital system fits into that, because there are some things that private equity will want to do with their healthcare investment that they simply can't do as well or effectively without involvement of the local system.
No, and I think that's exactly right. So talk about sort of, take a moment on really two things. Where a private equity fund and health system can be partners and where it can be beneficial, and then where there might be concerns. Maybe because that's, I think, a lot of where health systems look at this, is this friend or foe. Give us an example of where a private equity fund, it's usually not the private equity fund directly, it's usually a company they've sponsored, a company they've invested in, sponsors where the private equity funds use, but for investing. But where could they be friends or partners, and where could it be concerning?
Sure. So I'll start with places where the hospital may feel threatened. So the hospital can feel threatened by having physicians that would have been good candidates to become hospital employees have the means to stay private. So right there, you have the private dollars staying private with physicians on just the professional services. So that's one very simple way. You mentioned ancillaries a couple of times. Lab
and imaging and those types of ancillaries that cannot be joint ventured due to federal and state regulation, those are in a lot of communities, those are ancillaries where private community physicians historically have sent those labs and imaging to the hospital. But with an infusion of capital into their own practices and a little bit more, financial oomph and independence, they can actually build those out within their own practices. And that may be another way that the hospital feels threatened. But then they can also be really good partners. So there's also lots of interesting things that can be done together in joint ventures. And Ascension and Hopco announced about a year ago that they were going to do an MSK joint venture together throughout the Southeast. And that was going to involve a movement to the outpatient strategy. And Hopco is famously advanced in value-based care in MSK, but this is a way in which Hopco was going into a new part of the country, partnering with very strong health system in the Southeast, one of the biggest, and building out an MSK strategy for value-based care that would involve surgery centers, but also the physician practices, et cetera. So those are ways where they can be partners.
Do me one favor and explain for people, because most people won't know who Hopco is. Explain who Hopco is. Also, you said MSK, which obviously I had to hear you a couple of times, with musculoskeletal. And what was the health system? But if you could tell us who Hopco is, because I think most people won't be familiar with that. They had hired as their chief transformation officer a president of a Cleveland clinic, Florida, well-staffed. But tell us who Hopco is and tell us the health system they partnered with.
Yes, I apologize. I shouldn't use acronyms. So Hopco used to be branded as the Core Institute. And Hopco fundamentally started out in Arizona as a large orthopedic practice. And so MSK obviously is a specialty that, you know, tackles the entire paradigm of musculoskeletal care, not just orthopedic. So you have spine, podiatry, et cetera. Hopco rebranded as it converged its relationship with Banner at the time in Arizona, and really created one of the very first and very market-moving value-based care strategy in orthopedics and musculoskeletal care. That was very advanced several years ago. Their first institutional capital was Frazier, and then Audax and Linden came in a few years ago and really kind of amplified Hopco into a new stratosphere to be able to expand and go out and make these interesting partnerships around the country, taking that value-based care philosophy much broader. And the partnership that I mentioned was with Ascension. So Ascension, obviously, one of the biggest healthcare systems. I don't think it's any longer the biggest, but at one point it was. In the Southeast, I think it's St. Vincent's in the Southeast, maybe a few other hospitals that are part of the Ascension family. Ascension and Hopco announced a partnership whereby Hopco, which is private equity backed and has been for years, is partnering in the market with Ascension to do acquisitions of musculoskeletal care businesses. So that includes both practices, but also surgery centers, with the goal of moving these cases that are clinically appropriate out of the inpatient setting into the outpatient setting, and then partnering with payers so that it's a win-win for everyone.
Thank you. Let me just add two footnotes really quickly. Some of the private equity funds that Amber had mentioned for a health system, I'm probably not that familiar, Audax, Linden, Frazier, are sort of famously very well-known healthcare private equity funds. And then Ascension, there are some systems that have been very deep in either venture capital investing, private equity partnerships. Ascension is one of those. Providence is one of those. Kaiser Ventures has done a lot of it. New York Presbyterian's done a lot of venture, work on the commercialization side, on sort of technology and biotech and so forth, there's different systems that have been more aggressive in this area than others. And so it just very much depends on the system, whether they've done lots of partnerships with private equity or not. But thank you, Amber, very, very much. So you really hit a bunch of things there, because where they could be a threat, but they could also be a partner. Anything else you'd like to share with the health system audience about how private equity fits in to healthcare?
Those are really kind of the key thoughts. The only other thing I'll share is that the example I just gave of the partnership between Hopco and Ascension, you are seeing that in other specialties in other parts of the country. There is a GI partnership between Physicians Endoscopy, which is private equity backed, and RWJ Barnabas in New Jersey to do something quite similar in GI. That's where you really see an opportunity. And one of the ways that I look at the universe between the hospital system, the other private community healthcare players, meaning in surgery centers and the physician practices, et cetera, and then private equity, is that quite often private equity really is far in the background. You still have on the ground the same operations people that you've always dealt with for years as a system, running those surgery centers and running those physician practices. And the private equity partnership is a little farther in the background and doesn't have to be quite so scary as I think many people believe it to be. It can be a very positive thing. And I do see that private equity investors more and more are very, very keen and savvy. The really, really good ones, particularly those who have been in healthcare for many years, are very keen and savvy to be sensitive to local market dynamics and to fit in properly to that without making huge seismic shifts, except to the extent they believe those seismic shifts really will improve care and lower costs. I really do see that. And while I may be just a tad bit more positive than others in that regard, I love when I see that. And the examples that I just shared are a few where I see that happening.
Amber, thank you so much for joining us today on the Becker's Podcast. What a pleasure visiting with you. We'll distribute this to Becker's Healthcare Podcast, but also the Becker Private Equity Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.